ship, but she's afraid she won't be able to get coverage on her own because the records are going to reflect that she's had injuries that indicate she's been a victim of domestic violence. She may either not seek medical attention that she needs as a result of this criminal activity on the part of the perpetrator, or she may remain in an abusive relationship. We're also concerned that insurance companies would not be required to inform the applicant why they've been denied coverage, but merely tell them that, gee, you have the right to know if you want to put it in writing and ask. And I guess the question here is, why is that burden being placed on the applicant who has to take the additional step to request the information? If an insurance company is not required to inform why the coverage is denied, there's going to be a lot of victims who have been disempowered through their abusive relationships, and their self-esteem is low, and they will feel they can't fight City Hall, so to speak, and come up against this company. And so they probably wouldn't even pursue the matter because they just don't have the strength to do this, perhaps. And that would potentially allow the discrimination to continue, even if it's illegal. We'd like to urge you to amend the bill to reinstate the provisions relating to confidentiality for victims of domestic violence, prohibit the so-called non-discriminatory consideration of medical conditions, and require the insurers to inform applicants of the reasons why coverage is denied. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify.
When you mentioned the so-called, and Ms. Hugan and also said the language, it says only from the fact that the applicant was insured, covered that. And we get into these all the time where I think if that's what you mean it to be, then we ought to define it so that it's very clear, because, and we need to work out the language, if that's truly that it is, that the only means that, then we ought to try and say that, because it's not clear with just that language from my perspective. And if we all need to agree on what the language is to make it clear, that's what happens when we write the statute. So you leave it in, one person's definition is, or interpretation is different. So if you have some suggestions.
I don't have any suggestions. I think that, as Ms. Hugan had mentioned, you know, the first section of the bill has the word only, and that's good. But looking at this medical conditions where it's you apply it equally, it can present some problems for domestic violence situations.
Thank you. We're not going to get to all the amendments today. Obviously, we'll take them in the morning as well. I don't know who has. We have two more people to testify. We've gone a long ways over our time, Mr. Lesmeyer and Mr. Evans. Are you available in the morning, Mr. Evans?
Yes, sir.
And Ms. Huguenin, are you around tomorrow morning?
Yes.
If you and Ms. McKenzie, could you?
What time is it?
Eight tomorrow morning. Okay. Well, we'll Mr. George, you're not. Like I said, we're not going to be able to get to the amendments today, so we're going to wrap up for today now and start at 8. We'll start with this bill first thing in the morning, work our way through that, and then try and go to the prisons bill after that.
That'll be
8 tomorrow morning. So we'll adjourn for today. Okay.